And I hope everybody enjoyed that, the love train. And that's Martha's contribution to this show, that even though she's not here, she's here in spirit. This is the last Sunday of the month, which means that this is Positive Talk with Kevin MacDonald. And we've got a room full, actually two roomfuls of people. And we're doing very well. We're being COVID friendly. And we're talking with Randy Hathaway, who is a music god, is as far as I'm concerned, because he speaks a whole different language. Eric Hall is here.
Hi.
Hi. And Holly Berry is here.
Hi, Holly.
Hello. Oh, hi.
And we are here. We're actually having a really good time. The last hour we spent talking about Randy and his music, and I'd like to broaden out the discussion a little bit into music and how it affects our culture, and how to get into the music business, how it works to do stuff and the different things that you're trying to do with your work,
and
that sort of thing. So there may be somebody out there that would like to figure out how to do it themselves and stuff, because you can do that better and more easily than ever before. With computers and that kind of thing, but you still have to have the basic fundamental background, right?
Yeah, and you can never forget that you have to network. You have to have some social skills, so you can't be a jerk. Or you shouldn't be too much of a jerk.
That's why I failed at a musician.
That's why that's why he's a bus driver now. Did you know that? There's a test that he had to take.
And he aced it, I think.
He did.
Yeah. And the test was to fail society.
It's the jerk meter. And
So what does that make that singing bus driver guy?
Oh. Wallet. He's a buddy of mine. Yeah, he's terrific. He's terrific. He's a nice guy in real life. I'm surprised that he made it in.
Now, I used to be a bus driver, so I know what you're talking about. But talking more about music in general, is there anything that hurts your ears that's coming out today?
I don't really listen to anything that's coming out today necessarily. This might be surprising, but I go through periods of time, long periods of time, where I don't listen to music at all.
Really?
Yeah, because you saturate yourself sometimes, or at least I do, with writing and being so focused on it. And when I get done, I don't want to hear music. So my friends used to make fun. We used to go out to a couple Irish pubs in Shoe Little Pool, and there might be a live band there, and they would be really into it. They'd be like, what do you think of this band? I'm like, I don't know. I haven't been listening. I've been shooting pool. I don't listen.
That was one of the bars I played at. A lot of people were doing that.
But
not listening.
But when I do, it's very concentrated. Like if I'm going to get into listening to like some American, which I've been listening to a lot of American composer stuff. I will sit down really uninterrupted and really listen. But as far as what's coming out today, let me think. What is coming? I have no idea what's coming out today. Sorry.
Now do you listen to, Holly, do you listen to current music that's coming out today? If you listen to...
I do, yeah. Sometimes. So we have, you know how you can have the like Alexa or the Google in your house?
Uh-huh.
So sometimes I'll straight ask her, I'm like, hey, Google, play the top 20. You know, and sometimes I'm very like, oh, this is, I need to do this at least once a year because some of that stuff's really new and really different. And it's like a lot of dance. It's like really heavy with like dance and like some rap overtones mixed in with it. So you'll have like something, you know, Beyonce-ish, but then you'll have the rapper at the same time too. And then it's really like something you could wiggle your booty to. As you know, I don't replay it a lot. I have my favorites, you know, but yeah, it's good to like every once in a while straight just let Google tell you what's up.
Yeah, well, I should try that.
See, although my Alexa has a learning disability, so I've given up on her, but I rely on Pandora, you know, very much for the same reason, because you can program these bizarre names. So I'll just start typing in some, I'll start with a letter. And I'll go N-A-G-U, and then it'll come up with all these choices. That sounds interesting, so I'll click on that, and it'll play something from, you know, South America.
The real Southern America.
Yes, the real America. and it would be absolutely wonderful. So you can explore things, mm-hmm. you know, if some real, what I call, you know, real music from places that comes out of a culture, and you can actually get a sense of where the music comes from, and not necessarily engineered in somebody's studio that's manufactured to last 2.38 seconds.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think for me, what I have done instead of listening to a lot of new things is introduce myself to new things. And I went on almost 10 years kick of listening to primarily mid-20th century American composers. And I had no idea how many were out there in the world. I was really ignorant at first. I thought, oh, I mean, I might come up with a dozen or less. There's hundreds and hundreds of, maybe going to the thousands and thousands of American composers. And then coming up and find, has anybody ever heard of Harold Shapero by any chance?
Harold Shapero. That
Harold
would be a
Shapiro.
Name I remember.
That
no.
sounds like a lawyer.
Please go no. listen to his Four Hands or the Sonata for Four Hands on the Piano.
Really?
Yeah. American composer. He wasn't extremely prolific like Aaron Copland or Leonard Bernstein, but Aaron Copland said he was one of the most brilliant composers of their day. And he just passed away a few years ago. He lived a very long life. Anyway, I just introducing myself to his music and going, wow, who is this Harold Shapero guy? I really dig his music. A lot of strong jazz elements in his music, but also a lot of Beethoven-esque moments with a big, huge dose of American sound from the mid-20th century. And you know, you start to go, wow, this is really awesome stuff. So I've been introducing myself to new stuff that's not new, but it's new to me, you know, from that era. And it's been fun.
Take that.
Like I said, I got to get more into jazz. So just little by little I've been, yeah.
Now,
so,
you started in music in the 70s, 80s, around in there?
Probably 80s, yeah.
It's changed.
Oh, absolutely.
The business has changed.
The business has changed a huge amount. Yeah, because, you know, back then, I mean, you record companies and publishing companies, and nowadays, most people like myself, independent artists, there is some good news that we can do a lot of this stuff now thanks to computers ourselves and produce these projects ourselves. And that means we have more control. But then there's also the bad side that I call the bad side. At least for me, it is. For other people, it's probably just fine. But you have these platforms out there, the Pandoras and the Spotifys and the ones that do all the streaming services that are raping the musicians of their fees.
Sorry, Nicaros.
It's horrible. I don't really want to get far down into that, but the musicians are getting paid almost nothing, but the CEOs and the people who work in the companies are getting paying themselves a nice paycheck without ever having to pay the musicians up front for their money or reimbursing them for their music, which is just ultra sad, almost unethical to me. And just get me as red as a bull if we talk about it too long.
Well, just real quick, just so people understand what we're talking about. When you go online and you stream a song, the artist is supposed to get paid, but you gave us a statistic of what the percentage was, and I got an email saying that's criminal and that's horrible.
Yeah, it's criminal, absolutely.
What was the percentage?
Well, I will just, you know, I don't know it specifically, but it's like put a zero. Then put a point dot 0.0007th of a cent per play that musicians get. So just do a zero. Yeah, maybe you can get it on. We're looking it up right now. And then add a couple more zeros, and then a seventh of a cent was the last that I had heard. Maybe they'd gone up to a ninth of a cent after a couple zeros.
So one of the artists that was on my podcast recently had half a million plays on mm-hmm. Spotify,
and they made $13.
I don't know what he's got the computer over there or the
calculator. I'm just looking at if a song had a million plays or something like that, and they get like 0.7 cents. You were saying mm-hmm. that's about $7,000 to the artist.
Yeah, it's not 0.7. It's like 0.00. It's like 0.007. It's really bad. It's not 0.7.
Well, and all the different platforms are going to have their own.
Oh, 700 then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And that's for a million plays?
For a million plays.
That's $700. Mm-hmm. So the person who had a half a million got $350?
So your Smash Worldwide hit only got you
$700. That's groceries for like maybe a couple weeks, right?
Exactly. What are they
complaining
about?
That's a week's paycheck.
No, I'm kidding.
For however many months of work
$350
put into producing
that song. A week is a low-income paycheck.
And so you guys do it because you love it? You
know? No, that's not a... I do it expecting to get reimbursed too.
Yeah.
I mean, this
well,
is a business.
Fair.
This is a business to me too. I've always been about business. I do it because I love it. I'm passionate about it. But yeah, if we talk about this too long, Kevin, I'm going to get hot. Like, we should get off the subject.
Okay. Well, why don't you guys get together and pick another song that we can play?
Yeah. So, you know, we talked earlier about the music being engaging.
Yeah.
As Eric was mentioning that. Well, I have a piece called Engage.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to put this together because I don't think we meant to segue like this, but I actually meant to write something that would engage your brain. So we are getting a little bit more deeply philosophical here with something like that. And this is a piece for flute and guitar.
Oh, I love this piece. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's gotten a lot of radio play. This whole album's gotten a lot of radio play, just a tremendous amount across America and Canada and the UK. In fact, this piece has been coming up recently a lot on playlists. So I thought we'd just play the second of the two movements. And this is for flute and guitar. This is the flutist locally, Tori Kaminsky, and the guitarist locally, Jason Williams. Thank you.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Do you feel overwhelmed by the people around you or the energies you encounter daily in today's world? When the drama and the emotions wear you down, it's important to have the tools to deal with the challenges life is bringing your way. And that's where Natasha Venter can help. Natasha is a medium and an intuitive personal awareness coach who is inspired to help those walking through the emotions and grief of today's energies. Visit Natasha's website, angelicclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and compassionate approach can help. That's angelicclarifications.com. There's no need to carry the load by yourself. Learn more at angelicclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Tell your friends about Alternative Talk 1150.
And there's a little piggy that's went to market.
Going to be stuck in my head all day.
Let's just play it all the way
lunch.
Through.
We're going to lunch. You know what I'm going to order?
Bacon sandwich.
That's right. Some of that pulled pork, too, please.
We are here.
Give me a live one.
This is Positive Talk with Kevin revenge. McDonald and friends, some of whom keep talking. Mind your manners, young man. And Holly Berry is with us. She was with us the first hour. By the way, again, if you want to buy flowers from you and a flower arrangement, how do they do that?
Yeah, anaturaldesign.com, three words.
anaturaldesign.com, and you go to the website. Yeah. It has all kinds of really cool arrangements and things that you can pick up, and then you can deliver them wherever they need to go.
It does, yeah. And then if people want to see more, like I announced your show on my Patreon, there's a button for that on that website too, so they can see kind of the behind the scenes, the making, the how-tos, recipes, stuff like that. And after graduation, I'll actually get more into that for them and put more on YouTube for them. So,
well, very wonderful. Cool. Very wonderful. Cool. And Eric Hall is
Hi.
Over there. Hi. How are you?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
I'm good. And Randy Hathaway's there. And
Hi,
I'm
Randy.
Howdy.
I'm going to turn this over to Eric because
Hi.
We were going to talk about production and things that I know, like precious little about.
Yeah, that piece that we just played, Engage, man, that is just gorgeous.
Thank you.
You know, it almost has this feeling of a contrapuntal movement.
Yeah.
Was that something written into it?
The idea when I wrote for these two instruments, and I played with the flute back in the day, such a beautiful instrument for the guitar to play with. And same with the voice and the viola. I mean, I picked instruments that are really good friends with the guitar. But I made sure that rhythmically I wrote the lines so that you could really clearly hear both instruments well, and they were not one of them, which generally would mean the flute could sort of suppress the guitar. So by being very careful with my lines, I was able to get clarity between the two instruments as I was writing.
I almost felt like two different speeds at one time, or two different time signatures.
That's you have to go back and listen to the first movement because it really changes between the first movement and you heard the second movement on that, where the flute in the second movement is very spacious, very spacious. And the guitar is kind of quick.
Yeah.
And is they're almost in two different places, and yet they are working together.
It's married together.
Yeah, it's married together. And so that was intentional.
Fabulous. Did that create any production issues?
No.
No?
No, more just me writing issues. I actually wanted to tear apart the first movement. That was the whole concept, is I wanted to engage your brain into like wanting to think and open up and learn. You know, that time where you like maybe turn PBS on and you start to see a show like starts setting up and your brain kind of kicks in. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch a documentary. I'm going to watch this PBS show or this whatever. I wanted to create some music that would kind of do that same thing, kind of trigger your brain into wanting to learn. And after I wrote the first movement, I didn't know what to do for a second movement, and I felt like it needed to go further. So I tore the first movement apart, and I call like deconstruct. And kind of flipped them things backwards and had a lot of fun with it, but it took some effort on the composition side for me to get what I wanted.
It turned out wonderfully.
Thank you.
It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, so when you went into the studio, I know the production on this CD was huge. This was a massive undertaking.
Massive.
It took you years, right? Two, 3 years?
Three years. Just do the CD, the recording, and the mixing.
Wow. Now, was this after it was written?
This is, yeah. So, 10, 12 years of writing and saving money, and then another 3 years of producing. So, you know, good more than a dozen years involved into getting this one CD out.
13 years is like having a child.
Yeah.
Now you got a teenager.
Yeah. You know, you have to do what you have to do. I mean, there was no money, grants. Nobody was going to plop any money and said, hey, you know, just stop your life and just write and record and do what you do. I ran a music school here in Seattle for 6 years and a charity concert series. I mean, you have to do things. And I used my money to save up. And it was costly. But it was, I mean, in a beautiful way, the product is great.
Yeah, it's tremendous. Yeah. If you just looking at the CD, it is phenomenal because the colors are gorgeous, the way it's pulled together.
My sister did the actual cover of the CD.
Your sister, that's right. Yeah. And you had a bunch of artists that
did
the sheet music. Yep. So each piece is just, like you mentioned earlier, you can purchase the sheet music. And each sheet music is done, has some artists that rendered a piece.
The artwork is just phenomenal throughout. And that was just another element of collaborating. So, you know, 18 musicians on the album. And then 10 artists doing all the sheet music covers. So that's 28 folks plus the engineer. And I brought on a couple of my former professors from college to help me like co-coach sometimes in rehearsals. I mean, it was an undertaking like no other, like no other. But it was also like some of it was like the best musical experience of my life up to this point. And absolutely.
Were you able, because this is over a decade, were you able that whole time as you're creating each piece and working with all these people from all over to save it? And did you have to like transfer it into different like programs or like digitally? Like, how does that build work over a decade?
Oh yeah, I save everything on the computer and stuff, but then I would also print it out and have like, you know, hard copies of it. But that's the thing that's kind of wonderful about computers is we can there's programs out there that we can write the music on into sheet music and we can save it in documents. We can email those to the musicians and then they can either read it right off of their computer or print it out. So there's some beautiful things, and we can also do that as far as sound goes. We can maybe early on we might do a live recording and then we, you know, save it on a little file on our computer and then come back at it at some point when we're about ready to go in the studio. So it's good stuff.
I think it's a good time to ask this question now. So when you're recording the CD or the album, I should say, you were on a road trip, right? You're going from like east to west or
kind of
traveling around the United States.
No, not that far, but no,
but you were in
my father was having some health issues at the time, and I had just closed down the music school, and I was just like, wow, okay, I'm closing down the music school. My father's having some health issues. He lives on the east side of the mountains, mm-hmm. away from Seattle. and I was having to travel over and back. So I made 100 trips over the mountains over the course of 5 years, staying for extended period of times when I started recording this album.
Okay, because I work in some music production as well, yeah. And one of the big things as an engineer is known as the car test. So I was wondering if when you were traveling east and back from the mountains, were you listening to a lot of your music in your car when you were traveling?
Yeah, so one of the things that the engineer always brought that up right at the very beginning as we were going through the production is to make sure you listen to your music on as many different platforms, like a home stereo, your computer, your car. I even got a boom box and listened to that so that you are listening to the different qualities coming at you. So absolutely, when I was traveling, you bet. Because you got to do something for a few hours when you're going over the east side, right? So either listening or thinking a lot about production.
And when you're traveling, did maybe something stand out to you when, like, let's say you're listening, but then you heard, like, this thing you're experiencing in your travels and wanted to add that into the mix as well? Or was it just pretty much kind of already set in stone?
No, sometimes we could add things in, after we recorded it and stuff. Without a doubt, there's a certain amount of things that you can manipulate myself, because when you record, you're always trying to get multiple tracks and multiple takes. So sometimes you might say, hey, could you take a look at another take we did? I want to see if we can find this or something like that. We did a lot of stuff. We had to do a lot of stuff over the computer. We had to bounce, the engineer and I, and I should mention this because it was Michael Thomas Connolly was the owner of AmpTC Studios and the engineer who spent 3 solid years with me going through this. And he was a wonderful engineer. The musicians who came into the studio loved him. He made them all sound great and comfortable. But we transpired back and forth through hundreds of emails, on this project. So that was something that I could do when I was on the other side. I didn't always have to be in the studio. Occasionally, I would go back in the studio, even after recording sessions, to do some editing or some mixing. But a lot of times we would do it, through the internet.
Is his studio here in Seattle?
It was. He was actually over on Finney Ridge, which was a great area because the classical guitar community kind of has a hub over on 85th and Greenwood. There's a place called the Rosewood Guitar, and they sell classical guitars and sheet music. And then there's 3 coffee shops and a bookstore, and they house a whole bunch of classical guitar recitals in that little neighborhood. So Finney's right down the street. And then I used to live just north of there. So, Michael, his dream was to really get out in the country. So Michael took AmpTC Studios after being on Finney for many years, and he's up in Bellingham now, which I looked at the pictures of his studio. They're amazing. So he's got a country farm now and has built his own studio instead of using a cool little old house in Finney. But it's beautiful. So hopefully my next album, I'll get a chance to go up to Bellingham and do some recording with him, or even bring him out on location if we might have to do some, like the choral pieces I'm writing right now. I have to go on location. I have to bring him out because the musicians, again, love that guy.
And farms just really make great recording studios in general. Yeah. There's just so many of those across the United States.
Yeah, I can imagine just the atmosphere of getting out there and being able to decompress. And then, like, when it's so intense when you go in the studio. I love it. I've been in the hot seat, which I call like having the mic in front of me and recording as an instrumentalist on one of the tracks. But most of the time you're sitting behind the board with the engineer and you're just listening. I love that kind of work. It's so intense. So intense. And the idea of being out on a farm, though, to decompress a little bit, like, hey, let's take a break and you go outside, have some coffee. Oh, that just sounds lovely. I'm looking forward to visiting him studio in Bellingham at some point. Yeah.
So how long before your next album is ready to go into the studio?
I don't know. Guess who's saving money up again? So I'm about maybe 2 years, 3 years into saving money. So it depends on how much money I can save, how much people will donate and buy the albums, all that is available. I would say as far as the writing goes, I'm over halfway. So that means I've got over a half album of material, and it's looking good. And it's going to expand away from, not expand away, it's going to just, classical guitar will be present on that album, but it's going to expand into some other instrumentations as well. And from what I'm hearing, I'm just starting to get the music out to some people. They're giving me 2 thumbs up.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I'm excited to introduce people at some point, maybe 2-3 to 5 years.
Now,
would you be
willing to do like a GoFundMe page, something like that? Or do you believe?
I don't know if those things work anymore. I would always be willing to do something like that. I don't know if those things work so much in music. I think early on I was looking at some of the musicians. They worked a little bit. And now I think musicians have gotten away from those because they really, the last I've seen, not working so well. But I would certainly always be open to doing stuff. So I'm not opposed. Just, you know, take the right avenue.
I think in music, it's more of like Bandcamp, right? You're familiar with Bandcamp?
No. I'm a little bit familiar just because some people that I know use it, but I'm not overly familiar now.
You're talking about the movie?
No.
There was a movie?
There was a movie called Bandcamp.
Really?
Yeah, it was a famous discussion about a clarinet.
That does sound familiar, but
yeah,
I'll have to go back and see if I can find it.
Yeah,
it's a flute. And,
oh, yeah. It's a flute. Oh, is that right, Holly?
Great actress, very funny movie. But what's the
this one time
platform
Bandcamp?
You're talking about?
Oh, Bandcamp. It's kind of like a place where musicians, like startup and bands and stuff, can go to publicize their music. It's like a social media type platform for bands that are either just starting out or something like that, like SoundCloud or just another one of those.
Huh. Yeah.
Very good, because there's Patheon. Is that?
Oh, Patreon?
Or Patreon.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I have heard of Patreon a little bit.
Oh, I know nothing about it. Somebody else in this
room
does.
But I don't know anything about it either.
There's so many websites out there like that, you know.
Yeah.
Where all the different genres can try to have a place where people can support them. Yeah.
Yeah. I did get a couple grants in 2019 and 20. I got a Washington State Arts Commission grant.
Nice.
And I got a Jack Straw Productions grant, and they're over in the University of Washington, to help produce one piece of music. And so I might, you know, it's a hard call to go down the grant world when you put your time in and you look at the money that you get or the services that you get back. I think that if I went out and actually made hourly wage, I'd probably make more money than writing for grants. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of, but maybe not as much if I can go for some bigger fish. So like somewhere you're getting like $5,000-$7,000 to $10,000 grants. These were more around the $1,000 to $2,000, which is great. And you're very like, you know, honored to get those, you know, and they're not easy. Some of them, you know, there's a lot of people going after them. So when you
grants
get one,
are not easy to get.
Yeah.
Anytime.
When I got a couple, I was so flattered. And what was so great is that a couple of the committees or whatever they call the folks on the panels got back to me and said that the CD here that I used as my examples was just rocked them. They were just wowed by it. So that made me feel really good that
Dynamite.
I've got a good product out there.
You do indeed. You do indeed. Classical Guitar in America, RandyHathaway.com is where you go, and you can buy that directly from him.
Yeah.
And it's Jeep.
And it's
got it in his Jeep, yeah.
There's no.
And I've got it in my Jeep.
There's no.
And I'm running around Seattle, so just, you know.
Yeah
just flag him down.
Flag me down.
And it's
parking
not,
lot.
It's not cheap. It's inexpensive because it's
affordable.
It's affordable because the music is dynamic and it's really good. So so anyway, we've got one more segment before we have to say adieu for today. So we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be right back with more with Randy Hathaway and Holly Berry and that guy over there named Eric.
Hi.
We'll be right back.
What do you want for your pet when it's not getting help for its troubles? Happiness for your pet and yourself. I'm Nels Rasmussen, spiritual healer. I've been helping pets and people to be happy again for over 40 years. You can learn more about me and my work at spiritualpetconnection.com. And you can have a free phone conversation with me by clicking the Contact Us button. Go to spiritualpetconnection.com now.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
No other station delivers this much variety. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back to Positive Talk Radio. Positive Talk with Kevin McDonald, and this is Martha. What was that? Eric, behave yourself over there.
Hi.
That's so dang funny. This is Positive Talk. This is Martha Norwalk's Animal World. She's not here, thank God. She'd be yelling.
Hi, Martha.
She would be yelling and screaming at us. And Eric, never mind. By the way, Randy Hathaway is here, and he would like us to be a little bit more serious. Thank you very much.
Or not.
Or not. And, well, we've got a short time left, and we wanted to do one more piece yours before we have to go. So let's talk about that piece.
Yeah, so we've done Exodus, and we did a Le Beau Tango for voice and guitar. And, of course, Exodus was viol and guitar. We did flute and guitar with Engage. We're going to go back to voice and guitar. And this piece called Song of the Ballerina. And this is really nice because everything I try to do with this music project, it has to be personal to me. Something in my life has to come into it. And on this in particular piece, a lot of my past and life and my family's come into it.
You're a ballerina?
So, yeah, Song of the Ballerina. My grandmother and my grandparents, both of them had farms down in the lower valley of Central Washington. And one of them, I spent a lot of time on their orchard, and my grandmother had a music box, so one of those that you would wind up, and you lift the lid, and the little ballerina would pop up and dance around. And, you know, my older sisters and I were always intrigued by that little box, you know. We'd go wind it up and watch it, and then, you know, whatever. I think my sister used to play dress-up with it because my grandmother would put her jewelry in it, right, and had have all, like, her clothes in the closet. My sisters would get those out and play all dress up. And I would just wind it up because it was mechanical. I think I broke it too, unfortunately. But my dad and my grandfather bought it for her. And so when I started writing Song of the Ballerina, the music that would play out of that box reminded me of the music I was writing. And so I started thinking, you know, of this piece being for voice and guitar, and I thought maybe that subject should be about that box and how we interacted with it. So it's a song about my grandmother's music box that my grandfather and or my father gifted her for Christmas probably one year, you know, way back in the day. And they were wonderful farmers. I spent a lot of time down their farm, have a lot of beautiful memories of that.
It was an orchard, right?
Yeah, an orchard, beautiful orchard. And small kind of mom and pop thing, you know. And then when it came time to do the sheet music, I had my dad do the cover for the sheet music. Because, you know, obviously he was instrumental in getting that to my grandmother. So Song of the Ballerina has got Deji Killian on it as a vocalist. And she, somebody I worked with for years and years and years with, she's from the Seattle, formerly, many, many, many moons ago from the Seattle Opera, but she actually is a choral conductor here for the, I think it's called the Northwest Firelight Chorale. And she is a wonderful, wonderful conductor and wonderful.
Sweetheart.
Also wonderful singer.
Yeah.
And we have Jessica Papkoff here again doing the accompanying on the guitar. So let's listen to a little Song of the Ballerina.
That is Randy Hathaway from his CD, Classical Guitar in America. And that was beautiful, Randy. That's a far cry from Led Zeppelin and Metallica, I do have to say.
Yeah, it's a little more peaceful.
It is that. Eric almost fell asleep.
Yeah. It's meant to bring, you know, I hope, you know, people can get a lot of different things out of classical music and probably could get a lot of different things out of this album. Somebody emailed me recently who had purchased my music, and they said your music, as I'm sitting down listening to it, just makes me feel so happy. And I was like, wow, That's a beautiful thing to say and be able to do to people, that your music just makes me feel so happy.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's the highest compliment I can think of.
Certainly, if you can have that kind of effect on people, that they just feel happy.
Wow.
Enough sadness in our world today, and there's enough division in our world today. To be able to make something and somebody feel happy is a real blessing to me.
That is dynamite.
Absolutely. Or engaged or something. You know, they go off and they can sort of fantasize about what, you know, this music is trying to convey to them. You know, I have the seasonal pieces, obviously winter, summer, spring, and fall, and Exodus, and there's plenty of things with themes, very thematic music, I guess, I should say. Anyway.
Well, I hope that you will inspire somebody to go to Cornish, to get an education, to learn how to do this, so that they can do this themselves.
Yeah. Cornish was the right place for me.
I'd love to see an independent filmmaker make the film to that album.
Yeah, I would
too. That would be incredible.
Ooh, yeah.
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 Yeah, absolutely. I think this would marry up with film so beautifully. And I've been told by so many people for the last 3 or 4 years that this album's been out in the world getting radio play, that it just feels cinematic to them. And so, please, for anybody out there who has avenues into that world, let me know, whether it be licensing or whether it might be people who work in, what do they call those folks?
Videographers?
No, there's a, I used that word earlier to describe
music
the people.
Music manager?
But it's close. But anyway, they secure music for film and movies. And so that would be great. I'd be all for getting this stuff licensed in. And
like a score?
No, the person that they call it is a music. I'm not going to remember in a split second. There's a name for a person who works in the film world who secures music for it. And I said it earlier, like maybe 45 minutes ago, and now I can't remember it.
I thought it was music manager. I must have.
No. I mean, there are music managers out there, but that would actually use that. But anyway, so we'll just move on from there because I just can't remember.
Okay. Can we have your permission, and I'll have it on tape, can we have your permission to use some of your music in some of the production that we do?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have music supervisor here.
That's it. Music supervisor.
There it is.
So
we'll give you full credit and all that and how to reach you and all that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
But some of this would play really well with the types of thing that you're looking to do, Eric, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I could use it on the background for the YouTubes of the floral stuff I do.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
If you wanted. I'd be happy to.
Absolutely. Any of my good friends have you know, free reign to use this music. But everybody else, you need to pay.
And that's only fair.
It's only fair.
RandyHathaway.com.
Yeah. Go there and explore. There's lots of stuff to look at and documentaries to watch. I even made a little documentary of the production of this, which is kind of fun.
Brilliant. Awesome. Brilliant. So Randy Hathaway has been our guest, as has Holly Berry. Now, this is the first time all three of you have been in this particular studio. Holly, what'd you think?
Yeah, it was fun. Like, we had to switch in and out from the other room, depending on who was talking, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Eric?
Oh, I've had a blast. This is true. I love talking with you guys. You know, this is, I can see why people pursue this as a career, because you get to hang out and talk and learn new things.
I'll tell you that there's a difference, though.
What's that?
Same thing that Randy does with his art form is, if you are in corporate radio, you've got, and Nathan can speak to this as well, you've got hard breaks, you've got 8 minutes, you've got to take another break, then you've got two minutes for break. So you don't have the creative freedom to be able to put together the show how you would like to put it together to make it as impactful as possible. And you have to almost do it from an independent standpoint, just like you're doing.
Yeah. And that way you have control, right? Or have more control.
Not that we're control freaks, mind you, but but you need to
be
able to.
You have a vision, right? If you have a vision, and even when I used to run a local music school here that was a nonprofit and work a charity, somebody has to make some decisions at some point. If you get too many people in the room and everybody's trying to make a decision and everybody's got an equal say, it sounds good in theory.
Yeah.
You know, in the utopian world, like, hey, everybody's got a say, you know, but no, somebody, you know, it feels good to be independent if you can get your vision across well, you know, and still be a nice guy or a nice person, you know, before, during, and after.
That's why I quit being a bus driver.
That's the finesse of it all.
Is being a nice guy?
Yeah, being a nice guy and making the hard decisions.
Yeah, that really is.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully there won't be all that many. But it's great to have you here, Holly. Will you come back when we have a need for you to come back?
Sure. Yeah, I've had a lot of fun. It would be fun to come say hi again.
I would. And Eric, yourself?
Yes, I would like that.
Oh, very good. And Randy, you're welcome anytime.
Oh, thank you very much.
It is awesome what you do, and I applaud your vision, and your music is just phenomenal.
Thank you so much.
We'll have you back as your albums come out.
Yeah, that'll be about 10 years.
You know, if we're still alive.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah. If we're not alive, we get to go see Holly.
It all works
Happy
out.
Happy to help.
It's amazing how the universe works out, man.
If you missed the first hour, Holly is not only graduating from college at the end of September, she is also a funeral director, she's also a floral designer, and she's going to be a big-time business mogul.
The term for it is a professional generalist.
A professional generalist.
There you go. She's going to be professionally general and stuff and things. I'd like to thank everybody for listening, and I want to make sure everybody is praying for the people down in New Orleans that they're being hit by a hurricane right now, and we wish you all the best. And be nice to each other. Take care of each other, and have a great day, everybody. We'll see you in a month.
Bye.